Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we are going to continue the story of Nicanor Day versus Purim. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvotah Zitzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. Okay, so we're talking about Purim, and we were talking about the fact that there were these two competing holidays, Nicanor Day and Mordechai Day. Okay, and Nicanor Day was originally the day before Mordechai Day. Mordechai Day was on the 15th, Nicanor Day was on the 14th. So Nicanor Day was a victory of the Hasmoneans, right? The same guys who we celebrate in Purim, Hanukkah. That's 165 BCE. That's when the Hasmoneans win, they get back into the temple, they light the Hanukkah menorah, everything's great, it's wonderful, perfect. Here's the problem. Okay. I hate to break it to you, but, you know, the Hasmoneans, they could be a little bit of a corrupt lot. I know. It would be great to think that Jews were always just and the people that ran the temple were always great, but there were issues. Okay. So what happens is they win. They win for a good long while, but in 70, their whole franchise goes down in flames, right? The temple is destroyed and it's not rebuilt. So holding on to Nicanor Day, which celebrates the Hasmoneans and their contributions and their military prowess, just doesn't feel right anymore. Because in the end, they did lose. So the best analogy I can give you would be if America were somehow reconquered today by the British. I know. Doesn't seem likely, but you never can tell. The Canadians might just decide to swarm over the borders and take possession of the United States. I know. Doesn't seem likely, but if it happened, right, we probably would not celebrate July 4th in the same way, right? It would celebrate something that in the end did fail, okay? So you can see where Nicanor Day sort of slides by the boards and Purim sort of steps up as the holiday that's completely fantasy because there are no military victories to be had in the Jewish world really at this time. Once the temple's destroyed, you know, originally they thought, okay, it was destroyed last time. 70 years later, we got to rebuild it. So when it was destroyed in 70, what they figured was, okay, we just hang on 70 years. History will repeat itself. We will get to rebuild the temple in 140. And so the Bar Kokhba revolt was really, was just kind of a warm-up. It was like, okay, let's get the ball rolling. Let's roll the Romans right out of here so that in 140, we can rebuild the temple and just get back to business. And so when the temple was not rebuilt in 140 and they creamed us, the Bar Kokhba revolt was just trashed and thrashed by the Romans. I mean, they beat us very, very soundly. The Jewish people sort of slides into this horrible state of unhappiness and disbelief and low self-esteem, right? Wow, the past generations were allowed to rebuild their temple and we're not. We must really be bad. So a holiday for a military victory is just not going to ring true. So you need a completely fantasy-like holiday where Jews survive because they're smart. That's Purim. So I know it would really be nice to think that there was an Esther and a Marduk and a Hashemirosh and a Haman. And it would be great to think that Haman and all 10 of his sons are hanged on the gallows that were meant for Mordecai. I mean, I get it. I get it. It would be very nice if those things actually did happen. I guess just right before we jump into the text again, I leave it this way. Is there a guy named Romeo? Is there a girl named Juliet? Did they ever actually exist? No. Are they very important to our culture? Yes. Do we know who they are? Yes. Do we know their story? Yes. You don't have to be real to be important and real in a cultural sense. Sometimes just the story's okay. So it's almost as if the Jewish tradition is saying, okay, wink, wink, nod, nod, we get it. The actual holiday didn't take place, but if we could dream up a holiday to make ourselves feel better, this is the holiday we would dream up. Okay? All right. Now we can go to Yerushalmi Megillah. We're going to start right there at the beginning, commentary on our first Mishnah. Megillah Nikrate Bechule. So the Megillah is read in different towns on different dates. Rabbi Ila Shimon ben Ba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Ila Shimon bar Ba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ketiv, because it's written, L'kayem et yemei ha-purim ha-ele bizman nehem, to establish the days of Purim in their times. That's the book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 31. Ma Talmud Lombar Bismanehem. Why does scripture say in their times? By the way, that phrase, Ma Talmud Lomar, you would kind of think that means, so why does Talmud say? Gotcha. Ma Talmud Lomar means from what scripture says. So, sorry, it's just one of those technical little problems. Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosa disagree. Rabbi Yonah Amar, Leit Mahens Manehem Acherim, they don't have any other times. Rabbi Yosa Omer, Rabbi Yosa says, Zmanim Shekavu Lehem Chachamim, the dates that the sages established. The Eluhain, and all those dates we just said in the Mishnah, those are the dates. Achad asar, shneim asar, shlosha asar, abar asar, b'chamisha asar. The 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th of Adar, whatever. You want to have it on any one of those dates, you go ahead and have it. All right, we'll pick back up here next time. Bye.